From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For many weeks, Dr. Cairns has been studying the book of Judges. As he approaches the conclusion of this series, he comes to Samuel, the last of the judges. The circumstances of Samuel's birth as a direct answer to his mother's prayers, his powerful ministry in prayer, and as a prophet, his faithfulness to God, all contribute to the portrait of a man who has been called the noblest character in the Old Testament. As we'll see, Samuel was an example of God's sovereign grace, for he came from the line of Korah, an apostate whom the Lord slew in the days of Moses. Samuel's ministry formed a bridge between Israel as a theocracy and the installation of Saul as their first king. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will commence a message called Samuel, the Last of the Judges. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Today's text is found in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us. And canst thou not do this? Are there no mercies which thou hast experienced? What though thou art gloomy now, canst thou forget that blessed hour when Jesus met thee and said, Come unto me? Canst thou not remember that rapturous moment when he snapped thy fetters, dashed thy chains to the earth, and said, I came to break thy bonds and set thee free? Or if the love of thine espousals be forgotten, there must surely be some precious milestone along the road of life, not quite grown over with moss, on which thou canst read a happy memorial of his mercy towards thee. What? Didst thou never have a sickness like that which thou art suffering now, and did he not restore thee? Wert thou never poor before, and did he not supply thy wants? Wast thou never in straits before, and did he not deliver thee? Arise, go to the river of thine experience, and pull up a few bulrushes, and plait them into an ark, wherein thine infant faith may float safely on the stream. Forget not what thy God has done for thee. Turn over the book of thy remembrance, and consider the days of old. Canst thou not remember the hill Mizar? Did the Lord never meet with thee at Hermon? Hast thou never climbed the delectable mountains? Hast thou never been helped in time of need? Nay, I know thou hast. Go back, then, a little way to the choice mercies of yesterday, and though all may be dark now, light up the lamps of the past. They shall glitter through the darkness, and thou shalt trust in the Lord, till the day break and the shadows flee away. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old.
To the praise of his glorious grace. providentially ruling all things, to conform to the end he designed. He mysteriously governs and brings his eternal
In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time: A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy.
Now 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," and he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this familiar passage from his own precious and infallible word for his name's sake. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 2, in verse 26, we have a statement that is true of Samuel as a young child, but I think in many ways could be used as a summary of his entire life. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. A great American preacher, Clarence McCartney, called Samuel the noblest man in the Old Testament. That's high praise indeed from a preacher who was one of the greatest of all masters of biblical biography. Certainly Samuel was a spiritual giant who left an indelible imprint upon the subsequent history of his people Israel, and indeed of all the Church of Christ. Samuel, in many ways, is one of those larger-than-life characters. So great is his impact. We first read of him actually before his birth. And we find that he was still being used of God in most unforeseen ways, even after his death. An unusual man. As a baby, Samuel was God's gift to a distraught woman and a divided family. As a boy, he was his messenger to a disobedient priest. As a man, he was his prophet to a backslidden people. And as a judge, he was his deliverer to an enslaved nation. A man of irreproachable integrity, Samuel guided his nation Israel from the rocks of disaster, keeping his eye trained upon one thing, that was the glory of God. He was the first of Israel's national prophets, as well as being the last in her line of judges. He was the bridge between that 450-year period of judges into the period of the monarchy. He anointed two kings, Saul and David. Clearly, men saw him as a servant of God who was to be greatly trusted. Indeed, when Saul was facing his last great enemy, when he knew the end was coming near, in one of the most poignant scenes in all of Scripture, knowing that Samuel was dead, yet he looks for the witch of Endor to raise him in some way, he says, "Get me Samuel." Clearly, even Saul, distracted, demented, and led deep into sin, knew that Samuel was a man to be trusted. The Lord confirmed that estimation by marking him down in Scripture as one of the greatest intercessors that Israel ever had. Samuel's beginnings were remarkable. In 1 Chronicles chapter 6, now I realize that most people never read the opening chapters of Chronicles. They are lists of names. And I realize that for devotional reading, lists of names are not very edifying. I mean, anybody who tells you that he gets the same edification reading so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so as he does out of reading and studying Romans chapter 5, I think needs his head examined. That they are not there for that purpose. But some people wonder, should they be there at all? Well, that's going too far. If God puts them there, they're there for a very good reason. Let me give you one example. In 1 Chronicles chapter 6, 33 and 34, we discover the lineage of Samuel. And we find that Samuel, the son of Elkanah, was of the line of Korah. He was a Levite of the line of Korah. Now that's highly remarkable. Korah was an apostate. Korah was one whom God cut down in judgment because of his rebellion and his apostasy. And yet he spared the house of Korah. And we find that in later times in Israel, the sons of Korah were great leaders in the worship of God. Indeed, when you go through the Psalms, you will find many of the Psalms written for, and some people even think by, but I think it's better for, the sons of Korah. And here we have one of the prime examples of sovereign grace. Here is a man of an apostate stock, of a disreputable line, looking back into his past, and he sees this forefather, one of the greatest enemies that the cause of God and his truth ever had in Israel. And yet of that corrupt line, God brings forth this man who was used to change the heart as well as the face of Israel. He was the object of sovereign grace. Thank God we serve the God of grace. We are all of a corrupt and rotten line. We had an old preacher in Northern Ireland to whom I have made very frequent reference in the pulpit here, W.P. Nicholson. He was a plain man's preacher, a great preacher, a man full of the Holy Ghost, saw thousands and tens of thousands saved by the grace of God. But when Nicholson said something, you didn't need a dictionary to understand, at least if you spoke the Ulster dialect. He was talking about these people who are forever tracing their family tree with great pride. And he said that they're so proud to go back and see their family tree. Why don't they just go the whole way back and find that their first father was kicked out of the Garden of Eden for stealing an apple? Well, if it was an apple, it's as good as any other, as a fruit. We come from a rotten line. We have the poison of sin flowing in our bloodstream. We are rebels by nature, and yet thank God we find that God is the God of grace, just as he was to Samuel, so he has been to us. His beginnings were remarkable in that his lineage was corrupt. He was born, actually, here we come from the remote past into his immediate past. He was actually born into a godly home, most unusual in those times. Elkanah, his father, evidently was a pious Levite and went up to the yearly feasts of the Lord with diligence. That must have been a practice that was hardly looked upon with favor by the vast majority of Israelites in those days. Then we find that his mother Hannah was a woman of great piety, great prayer, and great faith. When she prayed for a son, God heard her and gave her Samuel. And as she had promised, she gave him from his birth to the Lord. And after he was weaned, somewhere probably, we find, for instance, Isaac was 5 years old at that time. Somewhere between 3 and 5 years old, probably, he was brought up to the tabernacle, left there to be trained by Eli. There, as we have read tonight, Samuel met with the Lord. There he received his first message from God. And following the death of Eli, Samuel's ministry was established in Israel by the Lord. And the Lord did let none of his words fall to the ground.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.